And then it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, can I say I'm one led by the Spirit of God? Because I'm a friend of God. And as a friend of God, I'm also a son of God. So I'm a son that's a friend. In essence, I'm a son that is not disenfranchised. I'm a son that has a good relationship with my father. The prodigal son said, don't call me son anymore. Make me a servant. Is that what he said? So why are we so enthralled with the word servant? When God calls us sons, and God calls us friends, and then says we are joint heirs. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, hallelujah, which means you inherit, and joint heirs with Christ, equal sharing. Wow. Wow. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We suffer with him. We suffer with him because we are sacrificing with him. We're working with him. Hallelujah. We recognize, yes, there are sufferings, but they are nowhere to be compared to the glory that God has ordained for us. Amen? Hallelujah. But what is the suffering of the child of God in the earth? It is not just the suffering of pain. It's the suffering that Jesus left all the abundance of glory and became man, and was limited, even though in that limitation he had everything he needed. He wasn't wearing tattered clothes. Hello. Glory be to God. They were fighting for his clothes. Praise God. Whatever it is that he needed was provided for. But it was not like. And so also, we are not tapped into all that God has for us. But whatever it is God has for us, our needs are being met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I say I am an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, it tells us that we are the temple of God. I'm a temple of God. God inhabits this temple. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Is that how you see yourself this morning? That you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. And because God dwells in me, I am not going to defile this temple that God has possessed and is inhabiting by joining it with that which is ungodly. If I don't know who I am, then I'll compromise myself. I need to know who I am. And I need to stand in the integrity of that. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, that statement is restated. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? I belong to God. Who are you? I'm God's property. Who are you? I'm a friend of God. Who are you? I'm a son of the Most High. Who are you? I'm possessed by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Anybody going around saying, I'm Holy Spirit possessed? Doesn't sound so interesting, does it? Well, is that not the truth? I'm Holy Spirit possessed. How are you today? Oh, praise the Lord, I'm Holy Spirit possessed. Huh? What are you talking about? Well, but that's the truth. That's who you are. And that's how you must be identified. When you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you are the temple of God, you are Holy Spirit, God possessed. Amen? Who am I? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a new creation. Is that how you see yourself? Is that your testimony? Or is your testimony, oh God, I'm such a sinner. What do you say about yourself? You see, because what you say about yourself is the reality that you're going to live in. You and I must say what God says about us. Hallelujah. In verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5, it tells us that we are reconciled to God. All things of God who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And not only has he reconciled me to himself, he has given to me the ministry of reconciliation. I was somewhere yesterday, and people started talking about a particular individual that was in jail. This guy's life is a total mess. In the natural, he belongs there, and he shouldn't come out of there because of all the horrible things he's done. So I said, how can I go see this person? And he said, no, you don't want to go see this person. I said, I think I need to go see this person. He said, you don't want to go see this person. I said, why not? I heard that this guy is this. Sure, he's done terrible things and so on and so forth. And you're telling me that if this guy gets into the system, he's not going to come out alive. Well, he's a soul Jesus Christ died for. And he needs to hear the message of reconciliation. He might still go into that whatever. He might get killed. He might whatever in the system. But at least he's heard the gospel and given his life to the Lord. That's what's important. I'm not there to go find out all the terrible things that he did and ask him about that. I just need to get there and talk to him about the love of God for him. And if he will accept it, he will be reconciled to God. Amen? God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He didn't give us the ministry of criticism, so we can judge people and determine who's going to make it and who's not going to make it. No, 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 no. That's not your role. Your role is to preach the gospel and bring the message of reconciliation even to the most vile individual. Everybody needs the opportunity to ask God or to reject God. Yeah. And your assignment and my assignment is just to preach the gospel. In verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5, it tells us very clearly that we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Him. One of the things I said to the people, I said, you know what? I heard about this guy here, and I do nothing about it. The Lord might just ask me, I allowed you to hear this and you did nothing about it. His blood is not going to be in my hands. And they all agreed, people that were not believers, you know what? I think you're right. Yes. Yes. We have the responsibility to represent Jesus Christ. Who are you? I am an ambassador. An ambassador? You know, as we travel the nations, you know, the people will ask, you know, what do you do? And I say, I'm a minister. Oh, a minister of what? Which government? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's a good time to say, I'm a minister from COG. COG, what nation is that? The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I'm a minister. Oh, what portfolio do you carry? I'm a minister of finance. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever you want to call, you're the minister of that. I'm the minister of good news. What good news? Jesus Christ died on the cross for your salvation. That's what. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm an ambassador. The Word of God says, and I don't want to go much deeper on that because that's going to take so much time. Well, let me just tap on it a little bit. That statement, ambassador, is so powerful. It's powerful. Let's just explore just quickly what that statement, ambassador, means. Firstly, we know that if you're an ambassador, you are not born in the nation where you are representing your government from. In other words, I, as a Canadian, cannot be an ambassador of Canada in Canada. I can be an ambassador in a different nation. I can be an ambassador in Haiti, in Jamaica, in the UK, in Nigeria, wherever else, I can be an ambassador there. But being a dual citizen, I cannot even be an ambassador in Nigeria because I was born in Nigeria. Hello? Praise the Lord. If I'm going to be an ambassador of Nigeria in Canada, I have to ditch my Canadian citizenship. Make sense? Okay, you can only be an ambassador in a foreign country. So that tells me I am not from here. I was born from above. And that which comes from above is above all. Hey, is somebody listening? I'm above all because I've been born from above. Praise God. far above all principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and all spiritual wickedness. I am an ambassador. I was born from above, and I'm representing my government, the government of God, in the earth. Praise God. Therefore, the implications of that means that where I live is the embassy. Praise God. Praise God. Because my spirit lives inside this body, this is God's embassy. Praise God. By the very fact that I am in this building right now, changes the story of this building to become the embassy of the Lord. My home is the embassy of the Lord. What I have belongs to the Lord, and what the Lord has belongs to me. My vehicle is part of that embassy. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the amazing thing about that is that that ambassador is funded by his home government. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Canada. In glory. Is there any limit to what that glory and that resource is? Is there a limit to it? There's no limit. So, when I pray and I believe God for resources, I draw from the resources of the home government. Hallelujah. From the home government. That's where I'm drawing my resources from. And because I know there's no lack in my home government, there's no recession. Praise God. I can trust God to download, because he has the perfect wire. He can wire the resources into my account. Praise God. He can wire it into the embassy that's inside of me, so that I can declare out of my mouth the manifestation of that blessing. Praise God. Are we together? The world says, you're broke, you're defeated, you're going under. But I say this embassy doesn't go under, because it is fully backed by the home government. Are we together? An ambassador travels with heavy security, especially when it is in a country that is volatile or antagonistic or whatever, because it has, maybe the government is not, or that nation is not against it, but there are people in there that don't like that particular country or whatever. It has to have security. Yes? So the embassy of Canada is protected by the Canadian government. It is provided for by the Canadian government. Yes? Protected by the Canadian government. But this is the clincher. By the very fact that it is an embassy, because it has an ambassador. Yeah? The country where that embassy is and where that ambassador is protected by that country also. So you're protected by your home government, but also protected by the government where you have your embassy. Yes? Is that true? Well, all truth is parallel, my spiritual dad used to teach. All truth is parallel. So that means this, that even Satan and all his cohorts have to make sure that I don't get harmed, because it is war if anything touches me, I am the apple of God's eye. And I have an entourage of angels traveling with me at all times. Are we together? Well, when we as a church understand these spiritual principles and laws, we will be that church that the gates of hell cannot prevail over. Are we making sense? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, I am the righteousness of God. I'm righteous. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not outside Christ, in Christ. If any man be in Christ, that man is a new creature. So, I must ask myself, am I in Christ? Am I in Christ? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. Ephesians 4, 24. Talks about this righteousness. And ye put on the new man, which after God, in the likeness of God, is created in righteousness and holiness. I am righteous and I'm holy. Do you see that? In the new man. In the new man. I'm a new person. Aren't you the guy who robbed the bank? Yeah, that was yesterday. Today I'm a new man. What makes you a new man? I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. What about yesterday when we were robbing the bank? That was the old me. I'm a new person now. Now, it might sound funny, but it's the truth. Being born again happens in the twinkling of an eye. You are right in front of a pastor or a priest or whoever or somewhere, and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. And after you make that statement, you will still be standing in that same spot. But in the realm of the Spirit, you've been in heaven already, birthed there and down here at the same time. Faster than you can blink. Are you with me? For you were born from above. No one of us here were born again in the earth realm. Not one person. If you're born again, you were not born again in the earth realm. You were born from above. Praise the Lord. And that was faster than you can even think. Bang, done. You're righteous. You're holy. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 tells us that we have been chosen. Colossians 3 and 12. I'm chosen and loved of God. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. You are chosen of God as an elect of God. Amen? You are loved of God as the holy and beloved one. And he says, you now take the bowels of mercies. Why? So you can share mercy with people. Share the love of God with people. Give people a second chance. It is so easy to cut off people. It's like, you know, we used to do as kids. You know, you're playing with your marbles and somebody said something or looked at you the different way, you grab your marbles and say, "I'm not playing no more, I'm going." And that's how we act so many times. "Not playing no more." And God says, "Extend mercy. Chill. It's not the end of the world." We must not allow ourselves to be poured into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 tells us that we are partakers of God's divine nature. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. It tells us, praise God, we've been called to an inheritance incorruptible. Praise God. An incorruptible inheritance and undefiled and that faded not away. It's reserved for us in heaven. God has kept us by the power, by His power, through faith, unto salvation. Verse 3, 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy had what? Begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We were born again by the lively hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Now, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, distance was no longer a problem. Walls were no longer a problem. He could show up wherever it is he wanted to show up. He went through walls. He didn't need anybody to open any door for him. That's why when we are born again, our faith and our trust is no longer in man and what man will do. Because, you see, man can decide one day to help you and another day decide not to help you. But your life is not dependent on their help or lack of help. Your faith is in the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who's made you an heir. Hallelujah. And by His loving kindness and tender mercies, made it possible for you to appear where you need to appear when you need to appear there. Yeah? Praise God. That thinking is the thinking of a renewed mind. Because at this point now, your decision is not any longer based on what man does or doesn't do. A few weeks ago, we shared a message about how to look at things. The Lord says, which man will not sit down and start, you know, counting his, you know, his dollars and figuring out if he had enough money to build what he needs to build before he starts. And which man will not, you know, king will not, you know, decide whether he's got enough soldiers, his 10,000 that will match up with the 20,000 of the enemy that is coming. And we lose the point because he says, man. But then he goes and flips it and tells us that if we are depending on man, then you better work on that. But I am beyond man. Hallelujah. I do things differently. I don't have to count how many dollars I have to get started. And you know what, child of God, I wish I could tell you that I've not fallen into that trap many times in my life. Because I have. How much do we don't have enough money to do it. If God says do it, while you are going on, everything you need to get it done comes. Hallelujah. Because he's already promised you, my people shall never be ashamed. Hallelujah. So why am I embracing shame? Shame came because of sin. I am the righteousness of God. Therefore, there's no shame for me. That makes sense? Are we together? Let me open up my Bible too. It might be an iPad. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. He says, according as his divine power had given unto us all things. Someone say all things. That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. What did God call us to? To glory and virtue. Man sinned. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But now that I'm righteous and born again by his Spirit, I have been called unto glory and unto virtue or excellence. It says, whereby through this calling to glory and virtue, God, listen to this now, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, meaning the promises, and the calling to that glory and virtue, that he might be partakers of his divine nature. You see that? We are partakers of his divine nature. Now, I have not spent the time in dealing with the qualifying factors this morning. Because when we are born again of the Spirit, if we're truly born again, those qualifiers automatically kick in. For example, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature, having what? Escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How did you escape? Because you were born, 1 Peter chapter 1. With an incorruptible seed. Yes? We just read about that incorruption, right? Okay. So if it's incorruptible, then it's not corruptible. Yes? Do we receive that? I've been born with an incorruptible seed, which means I am not corruptible. How does the corruption come? It comes from the father of lies. What must I do not to have corruption? Not buy into the lies of the enemy. What do the lies of the enemy do? The lies of the enemy generate strife. It generates bitterness. It generates unforgiveness. It generates division. It generates pride and all of that. But remember that the seed of God is incorruptible. Yes? The only thing is that seed is incorruptible, but I can invite into this temple when I think that I am the one who is the boss and I'm in charge. I can invite by believing the lies of the enemy, and he will put his maggots. He will lay his eggs, and corruption will be all around me. But that word of God is incorruptible. Amen? God's word is incorruptible. What gave birth to you is incorruptible. But you must not allow corruption to surround it by believing the lies of the enemy. You believe the lies of the enemy when you don't embrace the love of God. The Bible says, love thinketh not evil. When the enemy wants you to think evil about your brother or your sister, shut it down immediately. Because it's not your brother or your sister that you're hurting. You're hurting yourself, and you're bringing pollution into your life. Amen? Let me just go. Let's wrap this up. In 1 John chapter 4, the word of God is very clear that you and I have been made greater than the devil. Amen? I'm greater. Praise God. 1 John 4:4. He says, ye are of God. Do we belong to God? Okay, so the word of God says again, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I have the greater one in me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So what does the enemy say? What do people say? Is that what you believe? Or do you believe what God says? In 1 John chapter 4, or chapter 5 rather, verse 4 and 5, the word of God is very clear that not only do we have the grace of God upon our lives that has made us greater than the devil, but that we are overcomers. Hear this, for whatsoever is born of God, are you born again? Okay. Then you've been born with an incorruptible seed by the very fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. And when Jesus rose from the dead, there were no more any natural limits on him. Amen? No more natural limits on him. So when we are born again, our thinking needs to be no more natural limits. Hallelujah. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. Notice the punctuation there is colon. Meaning that this victory is that which is born of God. Okay? So I am the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth? So the even our faith is the one that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's a victory. Hallelujah. Every one of us here have a common name, Victor. Whether you male or female, well, the female, they can say Victoria. One of our spiritual son and daughter, he's Victor, and the wife's name is Victoria. So they got it just together. Huh? I'm going to call him today and tell him, I preached about you today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're the one that overcomes the world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Bestowed. When you bestow something, you put something on something. It doesn't say that God came at any point and took that off. He bestowed it. And what did he bestow? That we should be called the sons of God. That's what he bestowed on you. He says, Son of God. 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 It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, you're son. Hallelujah. Then he says, therefore, the world knoweth us not. Why do we want the world to know us? When it's already clear that if you're a son of God, the world will not know you. How come they don't know me? Well, because you're a son. Huh? Okay. Why don't they know me? Because they knew him not. Wow. But hear this. This is a clincher. Beloved, someday we shall be the sons of God. Is that what it says? Someday we shall be. It says now? When is now? Now embraces the past, the present, and the future. Hello? Because when I said now the first time in the past, and I said it the second time, that now that I said in the past of the past was in the future of the past. Glory be to God. Now that I said now was in the future of the past when I said now before. So now embraces the past, the present, and the future. Praise God. So at all times, you get it? Now, beloved, at all times, we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know something. We know that when he shall appear, when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So when is that now? Remember, now embraces past, present, and future. So when do we see ourselves as he is? Now. Why? Because we see him as he is now, and as we see him as he is now, we are exactly what we see him to be. You get it? What you see Jesus is what you are. If you see Jesus as a failure, guess what you are? A failure. If you see him defeated, guess what you are? Defeated. Thank God for the cross. But beyond the cross is resurrection. You were not born again because of the cross. You were born again because of his resurrection. Amen? But the only thing is that we don't have a way of captioning, you know, what the resurrection looks like. But the cross, we can, oh yeah, he died for me. He did not just die for you. He's living for you. Amen? He's alive. Don't we used to sing that song? He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive forever. He's alive. Amen. And finally, I will not do justice to this without touching this particular verse. Revelation 21 and verse 9. Revelation 21 and 9. And it says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And that's you and I. We're the bride of Christ, being adorned with the fullness of his lavish love. God loves you and I. Who do men say that you are? Dumb, crazy, stupid, foolish, loser, whatever. But who do you say? I am the beloved of the Most High God, the bride of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, paid the price of my redemption. Because he saw something no one else has seen. He loves me, period. I am loved, blessed, and highly favored. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the people that see that are the people that he uses to build his church. And the gates of hell will never prevail against that church. What they bind gets bound. What they lose get loose. Because they have been authorized. Somebody say, I have been authorized by God as his ambassador in the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. Many years ago, I preached a message and I said, there are four words that I don't want you to forget. Maybe somebody will remember. Those four things were what? I am what? I am loved. I am chosen. Huh? Authorized. Come on. Come on. I have a purpose. Good. Remember that. Those are four things you must never forget about who you are. Loved. Chosen. Authorized. And filled with purpose. you have a purpose. There's a reason for you. Amen? Salt of the earth, light of the world. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, before we wrap up this morning, is there anyone here that really needs to commit their lives to the Lord? You've not done it and you need to do it. This will be the perfect time for you to do it, to get your true identity in God. No man can do it for you, but you have to elect to accept the love of God. And if you're here today, don't waste this special time. It matters not what anybody else thinks. What matters is what God thinks. Amen? If you say, I'm saved, and you're not, that does not make you saved. It's not your wishful thinking. What makes you saved is you confessing it yourself. So I accept the love of God. I want to be a new creation. So if there's anyone like that, just raise your hand. I'll gladly pray with you this morning before we leave. Okay? Looks like everyone here today has given their lives to the Lord, and we celebrate that. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your many blessings. We're thankful, Lord, O God, that our identity is in you. And Lord, O God, we thank you that your grace sufficient is causing us to understand and to know that you've bestowed upon us sonship. You've bestowed that on us. And we embrace that and we walk in that truth. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, before Mama comes and we share in communion together, just a quick announcement. I want us to be reminded that next Sunday is Mission Sunday. That's the Sunday where we go over and above what we'll normally give and invest on missions. Amen? That's happening. But next Sunday is also Pentecost Sunday. Praise the Lord. And Pentecost Sunday is called the Feast of Harvest also. So it's about missions and bringing in souls. Amen? Hallelujah. And then in the evening next Sunday, we're going to have a healing and deliverance service. Praise God. So that's all that's happening next Sunday morning and evening. Wednesday and Friday is already, you know, it's Bible study and prayer meeting. Well, I want to show you a quick video, a slight disclaimer on this video. It's a prank, a very funny prank. We're not laughing at people on this, at them, but I just want you to watch this video, but there's a message that we want to communicate. Hallelujah. So let's watch this video. Watch it. Just pay good attention, all right? I have the privilege of seeing it already. I threw a sword with a massage. Ha ha ha!
so. I do so much of a sigh.
Hallelujah. Amen. Did you get it? Praise the Lord. Not poking fun at people that are old or anything like that, or using walkers, but we just wanted to communicate a point. Healing is available. Amen? Let's trust God for healing. And part of that healing is patience. Can you imagine those guys? Can you imagine being, you want to go somewhere and those people are crossing and crossing and crossing, and one drops all the coins and now he's going to start counting, picking up their money? Oh my Lord, I don't know if I'll be that patient, but praise God for healing. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. At this time, Mama, please come. Let us share in communion together. Time of communion is also a time of healing and restoration. May God minister His graces to us all. We take of this body, and as we take of it, we receive our healing, we receive restoration, we receive the quickening grace that the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has just brought into our lives. So that as new creations, we live a life that glorifies Him. Take of this body and eat and be healed of the Lord. Amen.
So you take of the cup of blessing this morning, say, I am. Everything. God says I am.
God says I am.
Amen.
Amen.
Take and drink.
Praise the Lord. Father, let your grace abound to us all. And may we prosper in your goodness at all times. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I didn't take the offering, but please come and release that which God has placed in your hands. Let us honor God with our giving. Whether we ask you to come and give or not, let it be understood that that's something that we as God's people always do. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. For those on Zoom, see Sister Patsy.
Hi, Sister Patsy. Hi, Brother Bill.
Brother
Sister Carol.
Sister